is big, more than enough, more than enough. The power of Jesus Christ in me is more than enough, more than enough. My heart is full and my soul is free. In my weakness, you had a plan for me. And I can't stop singing about your love. No, I can't stop singing about your love. Wherever you will be, more than enough. No, I can't stop. No, I can't stop. Oh, 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 oh.
struggled with loneliness and I struggled with self-worth. I didn't think I had any. It wasn't until I turned to Jesus that I found my calling, I found my value, and I found the promises that he has in his word for me.
There was a time when I was really struggling with fear, and with God, he helped me have peace and not have to deal with that anymore.
It is his presence that took this kid that was kicked out of his first school that he went to and makes him study bachelor's. It is all because of his strength, his presence, and his power.
Promise keeper, kind and gracious God, loving God, God with whom nothing is impossible, fights for us, always with us. We praise you, Jesus. I am the Lord, the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd, and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor.
Tonight, because he's here, his presence is here. So if you need rest, if you need peace, if you need strength, If you need whatever it is right now, begin to just thank the Lord that that is yours tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person that is here, no matter what their need may be, Jesus. We thank you that we don't have to go all over this place trying to figure out how we're going to make it. But God, we go to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We begin to speak the name of Jesus over every situation. Begin to do that right now. Jesus, I thank you that even though I haven't been able to rest, that tonight you give me rest. When I put my head down to the pillow, I'm going to fall asleep. You're going to bring me peace. You're going to bring me strength. And Lord, we thank you for that. No matter what need is represented here tonight, there is nothing that's too big. There's nothing that's too small. And we say thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you high five a couple people around you and say it's good to see you here tonight. And then you can have a seat. Well, good evening, Charleston Church. It's good to see you. You all, I'm sure, have enjoyed the weather today. Yes? No, nobody at all. I must say, and this is very honest, when I woke up this morning and looked outside and saw the snow coming down, I had the biggest smile on my face. So I'm telling you, I was just full of joy. My house is full of joy because of the snow coming down. So I say we just embrace it. Right, Mainers? Yes. Yes. I have like half of you with me. Oh, the rest of you are like, ugh, enough. But we're so thankful that you're here tonight. And if you are here for the very first time, you are our guest. And we want to say thank you for coming. And you will find in the seat back in front of you, there's a Connect card. And I think they're going to put it up on the screen. It's a red card. If you would take that right now, fill it out, give us a little bit of your information. And then when the offering buckets come, you can put that in there. We just want to connect with you. How many of you know that the month of December is very busy? Anybody agree? There's lots of things going on in your families and around, but in this church, there's a lot of things as well. So I want to just go over them for just a minute here tonight. This Wednesday night is our first Wednesday service. How many of you have been able to come at least one time this year? That's a lot of hands that are up, and I know that there's been so many great reports, praise reports of what's happening in every single service that is going on in this building. We have something from the nursery all the way up. So join us this Wednesday night. You do not want to miss it. On Sunday, next Sunday night at this time, we're going to be having our 65th annual Sunday school program. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it because it's funny, it's serious, it's wonderful to see all of the children come up and students. They've been working for weeks on this, and I'm telling you, you're going to leave with just so much joy to be able to see all these children worship the Lord. And to support the Sunday school, they ask that you wear red. So if you're able, if you have a red shirt, red tie, red shoes, red pants, whatever you have, wear red and support this Sunday school. And then at the end of December, we have our family Christmas celebration, and I am so excited for this, and I know you are as well. It's such a great time to be able to go out and to invite your friends. I know I've been able to invite lots of people throughout the years, and it seems like it's one of the easiest services to be able to invite people because they're open and they're ready to come. And when they come, they're just blown away. Pastor Paul and Heather do amazing every single year, and just the talent that is here, you're not going to want to miss it. So make sure that you put it on your calendar and you invite as many people as you can out for those special services. Ushers, if you want to get ready and bring down the offering buckets, we're going to get ready to take up this evening's tithe and offering. And you know, I'm sure all of you as well as myself can think back throughout the entire year of all the wonderful things that God has done for you. This morning when I was reading in the Bible, I began as I was reading, I love it when I asked the Holy Spirit to just speak into my heart. And these two words came into my mind: God first. God first in every single area. And that includes our finances. No matter what we do, you know, you need to keep God first. We need to keep God first in every single area. And when it comes to our finances, it's the same thing. When we give our tithe and our offering, God blesses you. The windows of heaven are open, and He has so many great things in store for every single one of us. So I want you to just take that tithe and offering, and we're going to pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for another opportunity that we have to give to you tonight. We're so thankful for all the wonderful things that you have done throughout this year here in this church, in this community, and all around the world. And God, we say thank you for that. So God, I pray that you just bless this offering and give us a wonderful time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Paul is coming on up to bring the word. Give him a big hand clap.
Praise the Lord. Can you guys give me a little run, run, Rudolph? I'm ready. We practice this. Go ahead, do it. Run, run, Rudolph. Go sit down. Can you give it up for our worship team tonight? They did phenomenal. Learn that for next week. Out of all the reindeer, you know you. No, you don't know. Good evening to everybody, and for my Jewish brethren and sistren, happy Hanukkah, shalom. It's not sistren, is it? It's what is that word? It's a word I'm making up as we go. You'll have to excuse me, I'm getting my notes out here. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Christmas is coming. I'm pretty excited. We just spent all afternoon in the fellowship hall practicing. It's going to blow your mind. Make sure you tell your friends, the greatest place to be on Saturday the 22nd, Sunday the 23rd is right here. All right? And if you fill it up and have standing room only next year, we'll do it 3 days. We'll just keep doing it. Before you know, we'll be doing it 365 days a year. It's just going to be so amazing. 365 days. Yeah, it'd be so amazing. You know, Christmas in March. Praise the Lord. You know, for the four people that will come that day, it'd be amazing. But Pastor Ward is not here tonight. He, as most of you were here this morning, know he was ministering up in Sussex, New Brunswick, for a real family member of our church. Troy Campbell had a heart surgery, and he is recovering amazingly, and he's going to be better than ever. But until then, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. And until then, he needs some help in his preaching because, you know, us preachers, we get excited. We don't want some valve popping off as he's getting excited. We want it working, right? So we want him to get ready, get healthy, get strong, and he'll be there. So Pastor, we asked Pastor Ward to come on up and minister in his church for him. And Pastor, as Sister Ward so wonderfully said this morning, he has a pastor's heart, and he wants to help everybody in our family win, and he's part of our family. So let's just pray for that whole situation. All right, I want you to raise your hands with me. Father, we thank you for our pastor today. We thank you, Lord, that you've used him and you're using him, God, to minister in that whole area. I pray that you will give supernatural strength and recovery to Troy Campbell and bless his whole family even more than you already have. So God, that the latter days of his life will be stronger and healthier than the former days of his life. The devil tried to destroy him, but we've broken that curse and he's a new man today. So we thank you for blessing him. Thank you for setting him free and giving him a brand new vision for what you're doing in his life. Bring our pastor home safe so we can have an awesome week next week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise tonight. If you could turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to preach a message right there. And I'm going to highlight right now verses 5 and 6. And then I'm just going to go with it. All right, so the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, "But as one was felling a log, cutting down a log, the axe head fell off into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' And then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?'" I've entitled this message, "Where Did It Fall?" Where did it fall? Father, I pray you bless us as we get into this word. In Jesus' name, amen. The axe head was loose and it fell off. Loose. Everybody say loose. Loose. Things that are loose aren't always great things. As someone who's been standing behind microphone stands since I was about 14 years old, that's about 22 years. Well, that is 22 years. Math.
I think so.
Math is hard. I have been in front of mic stands that have been tight and have been working. And you can move it where you want to. You can bring it up and it stays there and you play. And when you're holding a guitar, it's important for the mic stand to stay where it is. Because that's... Oh, sorry, this is not. So I have to do this one. It's important. It's important for it to work. Because when things are tight and put in tight, they work properly. But when it gets loose, you're playing the guitar and it kind of like... It just begins to sink down and you're like... Yeah, and it comes, and it gets you where you want it. You say, perfect. And then, you know, it gets a little loose again. And then it falls down, and you pick it back up. And then finally, you move your mic, and you go, ah! And you just get really mad at this dumb thing because it's loose. I've had to lift mic stands up with my head while I'm playing. I'm just like... And then it's even worse when it's not the whole stand. It's the little clip, and you're sitting here singing, and it goes down like this. And you're like, pull it up. Yeah, hallelujah. Why is no one responding? That's why he's not responding. And then you just kind of like tip it up with your nose and tip it up. And it's so frustrating when something gets loose and it doesn't function properly. Loose. You know, I don't like it that much when I see people with really, really loose. Well, okay, let me just say this. Loose clothing is a benefit. Number one, it makes me feel like I'm losing weight. So what if the waist is 48? I don't care. 10 more than I need, 12 more than I need, walking around. It reminds me of the 90s, you know, the hammer pants. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Loose. But sometimes you didn't know I could do that. Can't touch this. Oh, I'm just starting. No, anyway, I'm sorry. This is bad already. But there's sometimes when loose pants don't work because, like, if you have to ever bend over and get something... I mean, the Lord invented belts for a reason, folks. This was from the Lord. Constantly hiking them up. You gotta hike them up to like above your belly button so you can sit down, or else the person behind you is gonna see some more than they wanna see. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor Paul? I'll tell you in a minute. Loose. Everybody say loose. Loose living and becoming loose with what God is giving you makes you not function the way you're supposed to function. We need to be careful of the things in our life that they don't get loose. And this story is about that. This story has two things that I want to tell, that I believe the Lord wants me to share with you. Two things about the story. Number one is a warning, and number two is the winning. But I want to stick with the warning, and this is where it's going to get a little bit heavy and a little tight, which it needs to get tight, because some of us need to get tighter with our walk with the Lord. Some of us need to get tighter with the things that God has done. Why? Because they're valuable. Because it's important for you, especially you students, but everybody here, what God has placed in you is not supposed to die or get lost. It's supposed to thrive and be alive. So we need to be people who will heed the warning of the Lord and not get loose in our walk with the Lord. So let's talk about the warning, number one. First, 2 Kings 6, 1 to 6, this is the story. The Bible says, the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see, the place where you dwell, where we dwell, is under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, each of us, and get a log, and let us make a place for them, for us to dwell there. And he answered, go. Then one of them said, be pleased to go with your servants. And of course, Elisha said, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down the trees. This is a great message for Skyboro. Cutting down trees. It's manly. It's a Maine message. The Jordan River was in Maine, by the way. Praise the Lord. But as one of them was cutting a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, alas, my master. It was borrowed. Then the man of God looked at him and said, where did it fall. Now, these prophets were a pretty good sized crew, and they had a place where they dwelt, a place where they studied, a place where they did their ministry, and it was too small for them. So they had the idea, which wasn't a bad idea, but it was an idea to go and build a new home. So they went to where all the logs were. They went down to the Jordan River, and there's a bunch of logs that grew there, trees. And so as they were cutting them down and getting them ready, one of these workers, for some reason, borrowed an axe, but didn't check to see that it was tight, didn't check his tool, didn't tighten it, didn't make sure it was okay. And as he was felling a tree, I love that word, cutting down the tree, it flew off and went into the water. That's the setup. That's what's going on. Now, this story is more than just a cool miracle, because, spoiler alert, Elisha threw something into the water and the axe head began to float. Now, as a kid, I heard this story a lot. And when you hear stories about lives coming back from the dead, leprosy being healed, or oil never running out, you say, these are amazing, and it's so simple to see what it is. And then you see this axe head floating in the water, and you're like, well, that's really cool, but what's the point? Growing up, I didn't really see it, other than it was just a cool miracle that God can do. Hey, God can make iron float in the water. Amazing. Maybe he can make Pastor Ward swim. We'll see. Praise the Lord. Who knows? Who knows? God can do anything. But that's what I saw it as. It's an awesome miracle. It's only about seven verses long. That's the whole story. But you know, it was something, there's always been something more about that. And my whole life I've looked at that and I say, what is it about this story that always gets me? Because I've never forgot it. I've always liked it. I've always said, you know, that axe head float, praise the Lord. And I'm just trying to think, how can I add this in a worship service? The God that will float the axe head will float your boat, if you have one. You know, it's just like, what is it about this? Well, as I was reading it, praying on it, listening to other ministers and reading up about it and studying it, I began to realize there was a lot more to this story than just a really cool miracle. It's a warning to you and me. Why is it a warning? Well, it's a warning for us to stay firm, to stay strong, to stay focused on what God has set up for us to accomplish, because it's important. Now, the Hebrew text tells us that this axe head was iron, and iron was valuable in those days, and what made it even more valuable was that it belonged to somebody else. The axe head is you and me. We are the axe head. Because number one, you and I, we are valuable. We are valuable people. If you don't think you're valuable, you've believed a lie, because God made you and gave you purpose and a reason to exist. And if you have breath in your life, you have a purpose to be here. And God has given it to you. You are valuable. Say that. Say, I am valuable. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do them. You are valuable to the Lord. But what else is the axe head? It was somebody else's. You belong to somebody else too. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought with a price by someone's blood 2,000 years ago. So that makes you double valuable. You're not just have a purpose. You belong to somebody else. You are the axe head. I am the axe head. We need to learn from this axe head what's going on. So I want you to understand, when the Bible tells us that this axe head floats or this axe head falls off, the Bible is warning us that we need to watch ourselves, because at one point, if we're not careful and we become more loose in our walk with God, one of these days the axe is going to be flung and we're going to fall off, because before anything gets lost, it gets loosed. And if you are struggling tonight, and if you are in a place where you feel like you're getting loose in the things of God, I'm telling you, it's not that long before the axe head pops off and things start getting lost. Destiny gets lost. Hope gets lost. Vision gets lost. Your miracles get lost. Everything that God has planned for you to do becomes just a fictional tale that might happen. It's just, that's the warning God is telling us tonight. He's telling us, don't get loose in what God has put inside of you. Crazy thing about it is I've used hammers before that were loose. Why? Because I don't buy a lot of tools, because I'm not that good at it. I mean, I can put a floor down, but that's about it. You make me build something, it's like,
well, that looks straight. Let's put it up.
Good. I don't buy very many tools. I go down to my father-in-law's house and get all his and leave them in my house. And he can't find them ever because that's just the way son-in-laws work. That's just what we do. So if you are a son-in-law, love your in-laws and steal their tools. However, some of his tools were loose before and I've used them. The crazy thing about loose tools is they'll work for a while. So you might be loosening up on certain things that God has called you to do, but you're still doing everything you're called to do. It's because loose tools still work. They still work. And that's a dangerous place to be. A loose tool still working. Because sometimes you think, well, everything's fine. People still respect me. You know, people think things are going well. I'm not that far gone. Blah, 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 blah. I'm okay. And before you know it, one swing happens. Whether it's a pickaxe that I broke, that was his, or a hammer that I broke, that was his. You should not let me use your tools anymore, Papa. Just saying. whatever it is, the head falls off. And no matter how many times you grab that hammer or that axe head with your hand and you just try to pound it away, it doesn't work. You need the leverage of the handle. You need that piece of wood or whatever, the leverage of it. And so that axe head becomes useless when it's not connected. And when we become loose as believers in Christ or as ministers, because guess what? Ministers aren't exempt from this. As a matter of fact, you may have the biggest target on your head out of anybody. Because if he can make you fall, he'll make everybody else that are around you fall as well. How do I know this? Because it's happened. There are people who fell and almost took entire churches with them. Why? Because they were okay with being a loose tool, being pounded, until finally it all just fell apart. You know what I did with the pickaxe head or the little cheap hammer head that I had once? I just threw it away. I threw away. Now Dennis is going, don't do that. Don't ever do that. Okay, I might not have, but for my story here, we'll say I did. Because that's what the devil wants to do with your life. He wants you to think that when you are no longer connected and no longer doing what you're called to do from the Lord, that you're worthless. You're just a broken tool that is no longer useful. Because no matter how many times I took that axe head or how sharp it is, if it's just the head and I'm pounding it with my hand, I'm not Superman. I can't break the wood with that. But you put it in a stick and you pound it hard, it chips away at it. And so you pound it away and you're like, this is worthless. And that's the way we feel when we become loosed and finally lose the things that God gives us. We feel like we've got nothing to offer. And the warning actually goes deeper than that. The warning tells us to be careful with the things God holds most precious in your life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that on that day, the end of days, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare, said Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. These are loose tools thinking they're doing okay, and finally they just got lost. It's a big warning. It's a warning to tighten up our devotions. It's a warning to not get loose in our time alone with Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, reproof, and for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent, equipped in every good work. The word of God gives you strength, purpose, value, and direction. That's what it's for. But when we get loosed in the word of God, everything else starts getting a little wiggly and a little less dynamic. Many a strong believer became loose in their walk with the Lord, and then they became lost because they didn't know who their God was. I tell you, it's a warning. I'm not looking at everybody saying, it's you. I'm saying it could be you. It could be me. It could be anybody here. We need to understand that these things in our life are not trivial things. Some people think they are. I've met people over the 13 years, 14 years being here that trivialize the things of God. We come a little, we go a little, we talk a little bit about God, but when things really come to a point, you know, I just need to go, I need some time alone, I need to go drinking, or I need to do this, or I need to do that, and I'm saying, and it's like, that's what happens when you loosen the powerful things of God. You try to find answers in other places that only bring you further away from the answer that you need when you are loose in your devotion. What about when we get loose in our church attendance? Let us not neglect meeting together. You all know the scripture, Hebrews 10, 25. Let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now in the day of his return. But Pastor Paul, there's so many hypocrites in church. Well, we always have room for one more. Come on in. Come on in. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You guys are here, so don't. This is not like, come to church.
I'm already here. Leave me alone.
I get it. We're all here. But being a part of church, you agree with me, is one of the most important things you can have. Anyone online, I'm telling you, you're part of our church watching online. But you got, if you're close, come. Because there's people that can lay hands on you and pray for you. There's people that want to do things for you and bless you and see you succeed and help you win. Relationships that are born in this building that God is going to set up so you can be a better person. That's what the body of Christ is for. And that's why we don't want to get loosed in our church attendance. When I grew up, I never had to worry about what I was doing Sunday morning or Sunday night. There was no question. I wonder what we're doing this Sunday. Nope, I'm going to church. I'm going to church Sunday morning. I'm going home, having a eat, watching my parents fall asleep, going back to church at 6:30. I learned about the Pentecostal power nap long ago. I learned all about it. And I learned when you get back to church and you go and have another service and it's a different message and you spend time in the altar. I learned the beauty and power of going to church. Because when you learn to not get loose with your church attendance, you start hearing things from the Lord in his house. But when we prioritize other things than church attendance, we learn more from the devil's house than we do from the Lord's house. And I don't think that's anything our generation that's in the generations that are on this earth need. I don't think we need to learn any more from the devil's house. We hear enough about it on TV. We hear enough about it in entertainment, in music, in the internet, in social media. We hear enough about it as church attenders. So we must not neglect coming together so we can get strong and hear the voice of God in his house. If you believe it, come on, give him a hand clap tonight. Just tell the devil that you believe that. It's a warning. It's a warning to be careful who you associate with. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I heard it said 100 times, and I'll say it 101. Well, not right now. I'll say it the one. Okay. 101 times. Here we go. I'll say it. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. It pains me over the years to see teenagers starting to hang out with people they shouldn't and watching their life deteriorate because of the people they hang out with. We all have places we shouldn't go. We all have people we shouldn't hang out with. We all have things we shouldn't do. But our flesh wants to do it. And I'm telling you, if we get loose in how we treat what God has given us, that's going to affect who God called us to be. Eventually, that's going to wear out. And things that he has blessed us with are going to get lost. They're going to get lost. Just a little bit more sad stuff here before we get into the fun stuff. This warning takes us right to the very bottom of the Jordan River. Because what happens when this heavy axe head hits the water? It sinks. It sinks. Goes past every little bit of wildlife that's in there, every fish, every plant. It's not the ocean, so there's no sharks or dolphins, but it could be trout. That's right. I don't know much about fishing. I'm a poser when I do that. I don't know much about that stuff. I grew up in a suburb. I'll tell you about 1/4-acre lots and be able to touch your neighbor's house by doing that. But anyway, whatever. Just move, stay. Goodness, stay where you're coming. This warning takes us right to the very bottom. Because when the axe head finally got loose, it went in the water. Now, you know what? When it first got in the water, people could see it. Because you could see the shadow coming up from the water. They could see it kind of, maybe the sun was shining and it flashed and you could see it. Oh, it's right there, it's right there. But you turn away and that axe head hits the floor. It just begins to stir up all the muck and mire that's on the floor. And it begins to cloud the area around to the point where you look back and you say, where'd it go? It's gone. That's what happens to us when we get lost. When we let our life get loosened and get lost. It's not that we're not findable, it's just no one really knows where we are. It's not that we're not in reach, it's just no one knows where to reach. And that's how we feel. We feel when we mess up and make mistakes that we are stuck on the bottom of that Jordan River. I'm telling you, it happens to every business person, every family in here. You feel like nothing's working and you're down at the bottom and you're covered and there's no way out. That's what happens when you get loosed with your relationship with the Lord. It happens in the ministry. It happens in the ministry when we get too busy to pray. When we get too busy to go to spend time with Jesus outside of our professional career. It happens when we start looking at other ministries and instead of honoring them, we envy them. Because we get loose and things begin to get out of sorts and we find ourselves at the bottom of the river, covered in muck and mire, not thinking that our ministries can do anything because we're not good enough, smart enough, we don't have enough money. Well, that's all lies, but it makes sounds like good sense when you're at the bottom of the ocean. That's what happens when we get loose. We find our way to the bottom of the river. This is why the Lord is warning us tonight, because no believer wakes up in the morning after great meetings, after getting saved, and says, I think I'm going to go to the bottom of the river today. It's not flipping a switch and say this. I'm not, you know, it's not flipping a switch and saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to backslide and throw away my destiny. No, it's day by day letting that axe head get loose, pounding and pounding, sometimes doing the work of God, but not stopping to tighten that axe, to tighten it. Maybe replace the shaft. Do work on your tool. Because sometimes we need, actually every day we need work, but when we just neglect the work, we just keep getting pounded and pounded and pounded until finally, pop, and we fall. That's the warning for us tonight. The encouragement that the Lord wants to say through this warning is to tighten up. Tighten up. Don't get tight as in stressed. Tighten up. There is so much Bible in this book that no matter how well you know it or memorize it, you can still glean something new from it every day. Don't believe me? Try it. Try it. Watch what he can do. Tighten up. Get to know the word so that when situations come in, you have ammo to knock them down. It's not right that situations ought to knock a believer down. We ought to knock the situation down. But when we become loose in the things of God, situations become mighty powerful. It's not much to knock a loose axe head off of its shaft. John 15:5 says, I am the branches, you are the vine. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. It's the warning to tighten up. Your strength doesn't come from the head. It comes from the shaft. It comes from the leverage. You are not the source of strength. The one who wields you is the source of strength. And so we need to stay connected to be valuable. We need to stay connected to have reason to be useful. You know, the Bible in Revelation chapter 3, the Bible talks about being hot and cold and all that stuff. And you know, and a lot of people say it's, you know, be on fire for God or be cold, you know, all of that. And I'm not even sure if that was an analogy back in those days. That's kind of a modern analogy. The reality is the people of Laodicea knew what hot water meant and what cold water meant. Hot water meant you can clean. Cold water meant you can drink it. Lukewarm water means it's full of bacteria. So Jesus isn't saying, I want you cold. I want you nothing or everything. He's saying, I want you valuable. I want you useful. I don't want you to be lukewarm because that's nothing. And God's saying, I can do the work. I can swing the axe. Just take time to stay tight with me. Tighten up. Everybody say tighten up. Well, that's the warning. But praise God, it doesn't end with an axe head on the bottom of the river. Amen. I think I need a little bit of joy music. Come on up, Heather and band. I want you to come on up. I still have, 45 minutes left, but amen. If I did, I would do it, but I don't. Everybody say winning. We can focus so much on all that stuff, and I it's funny, when I was preparing for this message earlier this week, when I was studying for it, immediately this came to me, and I struggled with it, this story, I struggled with it. I heard a sermon on it, and it stayed with me, and I couldn't get it out of my head, but as I was looking it over, I'm like, no, I can't preach that. And so the next day came, tried to get something else, nothing, right back to this. I can't preach that. They're all Christians here. Nope, can't preach that. Finally, after days and days and days and days and days of trying to find something else, Saturday morning, I sat down, I said, fine, Lord, I'll do it. And in 20 minutes, I had the whole thing written out. Because this is what God wants us to understand, that yes, he gives us a definite warning. But you know what? He shows us how to win. So the warning, we heed it, and we grab a hold of the winning and become winners and victors in the Lord every single day. Who wants to be a winner in Jesus? You know what? I don't believe any one of you has to experience what it's like at the bottom of the water. You might have known what it feels like. And you know what? Some of you might be there tonight. This can be the last time you touch it. That you don't have to go down there anymore because of something Jesus did. But let's look at this. Let's look at this. Winning. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. When he showed him the place, the axe head fell. Elisha cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. And then he said, take it up. So he reached out his hand, and he took it. Elisha did something extremely prophetic there. Talk about that in a second. But when he took that tree branch, he didn't know exactly where it was. He didn't know the precise inch or millimeter, or I don't know if they used the metric system back then or not. They might have. Who knows? But the guy said it was over there. And so when Elisha threw it, he threw the tree branch into the water, into the vicinity of the axe head. Just in the general area, the axe head began to flow. You see, it didn't have to land directly on top of it. It didn't have to sink to the bottom and touch it. It just had to get somewhere near the stick. And poof, it floated. And it got taken, put back on. It became useful again. Ultimately, God's plan is not for us to live a life of struggle and defeat. Jeremiah tells us he has good plans for us. Not just for you personally, but for his kingdom through you. To see his kingdom advance. And God's kingdom will not advance through a defeated believer. But his kingdom will advance through a believer who's floating. Through a believer who no longer decides to reside at the bottom of the ocean. The bottom of the depths of sin, of defeat, of fear, of worry, of guilt, of shame, of past mistakes. When you decide that's not my home and you begin to rise above it through the power of the Lord, you begin to understand that's where we belong. And in doing so, we can reach out to the other axe heads that are at the bottom of the ocean. And we can lift them to greater heights, to better moments, to better freedom, to better homes, to better families. To be free from addiction, to be free from lust and envy and pride and guilt and offense and all that stuff. It comes because believers like you say, I'm no longer going to be on this floor. I'm going to be rise above. No matter how deep and how covered and how broken you might get, he can pull you out and he can make you new. Now, I wonder, when Elisha grabbed that tree branch, if he really knew the full connotation of what that is. When he took that tree branch and threw it in the water and everything changed. I wonder if he realized that just several hundred years later, another man would take branches of a tree on his back and carry them up a hill and stick it in the ground and be nailed to it so that all of us could be lifted out of our sin hole. You see, just like Elisha threw the branch in the vicinity of the axe head, if you get in the vicinity of the cross, if you get in the vicinity of the finished work of Jesus Christ, all the stuff that is bringing you down falls off and gets afraid, like it's afraid of the power of God, of the might of Jesus, of the beauty of holiness. That dirt and defeat just bounces off of you and you begin to fly. You don't have to take 30 steps. One look towards Jesus Christ and you begin to rise above all the stuff that tried to nail you down. Timing is important here, because you might have taken many years to get loosened. And you might have said, it's been so long since I've spent time with Jesus. That's the worst part about getting loose, is that we can feel so guilty. So guilty. And we think, there's no way God's going to accept me. I can't imagine what the people in church are going to say if I come down to the altar and put my hands up and like, oh, here we go again, blah, blah, blah. It's the devil trying to keep you down where you shouldn't be in the first place. You might have taken years to get that low. All it takes is one look to get up. Come on, somebody. I feel that one. Hallelujah. That Jesus bore wasn't just so you could get saved. It broke the curse of sin in your life. It broke the things in your life that want to bring you to that low place. You don't have to be part of that anymore. You just need to find yourself within sight of that old rugged cross. That old rugged cross still carries power today. It still carries power for those that are depressed. It still carries power for those that need a healing. Hallelujah. It still carries power for those who are broken, for those who are anxious, for those who have worry, for those who have hatred, for those who have addiction, for those who can't get by, for those in poverty. It still carries power. As long as you get in the vicinity, you receive what comes. You don't have to be, praise God, we didn't have to be at the place when Jesus died. We didn't have to be there to receive the full power of what Jesus did. We just have to be in the vicinity and say, yes, Lord, I want what you have. And it's an onslaught of the goodness, an onslaught of the presence of God. And all that muck, all that mire, all that dust and grime that gets attached to us from looseness and from being broken and from being wounded and from being stuck begins to fall off. And not only do we come up better than before. Woo! Woo! How do we stay winning? How do we keep winning? How do we win up there, up on the hill? You know, I went to Penobscot County Jail the other night. Made a couple bad choices. I went for an orientation so I could go visit people who made bad choices. And the guy who gave us the orientation was a real good guy. He said the vast majority, 80, 90, 95% of the people in there are just good people that made bad choices, that had bad situations. I went there. I looked and I saw so many people in these rooms with orange jumpsuits. It broke my heart. Because they're not supposed to be there. One day they got stuck and they stayed stuck. But I believe God can even take them and make them win. He can make anyone win. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That ought to encourage you a little bit. Because if he can take somebody who the culture has given up on, that people are afraid of and turn them into a winner. I went to Bible college with many people. I won't say many people, let's not exaggerate it. I went with a handful of people that have spent time in county jails, that donned orange jumpsuits and were looked at with scorn and hatred. But you know what? Today, just like me, they are standing in pulpits and they are preaching the gospel to people and setting the captives free, just like they were. What does that tell me tonight? It tells me that no matter what situation you find yourself in, you get close to the cross. It's still all about the cross. Paul came to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Christ crucified, and that's still the way to live victorious, blessed life. You stay close to the finished work of Jesus, and I'm telling you, the bottom of that river will never be your home. Tighten up and watch life become something better than you've ever had it. Stay close. Stay close. Stay close to the cross. Give me a C, Heather.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
Oh, hallelujah.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Trophies at last I laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for.
Come on, the cross never goes out of style. I want you to lift up your hand and shout.
So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling.
Tonight I'm going to ask if there's anybody that you look at your life and this story resonated with you. You feel like that axe head that's been lost. You're disconnected. You're stuck at the bottom. And I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven at just one call is ready to pull you out and give you a brand new start. To give your life back to Christ. You might have served Him and you might be far from Him. Do not let your pride stand in the way of eternal life. I'm telling you, if God is calling you home tonight, I want to pray with you and see you come home. Is there anybody here that would simply say, yeah, I feel like I'm at the bottom and I need to give my life right with the Lord? Go ahead and raise your hand. Is there anybody here? Amen. Amen. I see a hand. I see a couple hands. Praise God. Why don't you come down and meet me here? I want to pray with you. Come on down. Hallelujah. Come on. Can you give God a hand clap of praise for this tonight? We got Corbin, and we got Michelle. I ministered with Corey Wheeler this morning, and I prayed for Michelle, and the Lord was working on her even then. And today is the day. Today is the day where this turns around. And the cool thing about it is it never has to go back. It never has to go back. Never. Amen? Come on, can you stretch your hand out? I want you to repeat this prayer after me, okay? Say, dear Jesus, thank you so much for seeing me down here. I've made mistakes and I've been stuck. But tonight, that's all gonna change. You died for me on that cross, and I thank you for it. And I ask that you'll forgive my sins and make me a new person, a free person, a different person. In Jesus' name, help me live this life to the full every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you'll begin to do a work in Corbin's life that you've been doing. And I pray that it'll stick and he won't feel self-condemnation anymore. He won't feel condemned or broken because you have called him out of darkness and into light tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, and I thank you so much for Michelle. I thank you, God, that this is just the beginning of it. This isn't the pinnacle of her walk with God. This is the beginning. It's going to get better and better and better. And I come against every thought of depress, every thought of fear, every thought of brokenness that comes into her mind. In Jesus' name, we arrest it and we say, go back to where you started. You failed, devil. You failed in your assignment to bring her down. God, she is up. She is not in the muck and mire. She is not at the bottom of the ocean, the bottom of the river. She's alive and attached to the vine, and she is being used for the kingdom of God. So I pray, God, for joy to come into her life. And God, victory follows her all the days in Jesus' name. Everybody shout a good, strong amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else here that would just simply say, you know what? I recognize the warning. And I mean business with my walk with God. I want you to come down to the altar and I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to begin to praise and pray to the Lord and say, God, that's not going to be me. I hear your warning and that's not going to be me. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. You say, I hear the warning. I hear the warning of loose. I hear what it does and that's not going to be me. Come down and fill this altar. Come on. Come on down. And let's just really recognize the power that we have. Hey, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross. And exchange it someday. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're a leader, prayer warrior, board member, why don't you come down and help me pray for these people tonight? That they just firm up their life. They tighten up their life. They tighten up their walk with God. Come on, let's pray before we head home.